So welcome guys to another session. Today we're gonna be talking about the healing benefits of decluttering. This is a topic that has been in my mind for a really long time. I have talked about trauma, the link between trauma, decluttering, healing, decluttering, and today I wanna talk about the benefits of decluttering, the healing benefits. And I basically want to share some of my experiences that I have had very recently. I have been doing this work for over 10 years now. And in the past few months before coming to Barcelona, I noticed that the sessions that I offer with my wife, they were going to places sometimes that, they were like very interesting direction. And I guess that's a combination of people being ready, our capacity to hold space in a deeper way for people. And we just created sometimes results and healing opportunities that were very, pretty much, pretty amazing. So that's why I would like to talk about these healing benefits of the decluttering process and how they are both connected. So Tammy, first time, thank you so much. Buff, it's your first time ever. Thank you so much for joining the show, for joining these live sessions. For those of you who don't know, I show up live normally on Tuesdays and Thursdays at this time, okay? I normally cover topics around intentional living, organization, decluttering, time management, mental health, wellness, executive functioning skills. And I talk a lot from my own experience and from my experience of helping other people making these changes. So I try to make these live sessions very practical, very doable, hopefully inspiring. And I try to speak from a place of my own experience so that it's something that is relatable, okay? If you are interested, I have courses that you can check out. I have 5 courses on Inside Timer, 1 about time management, 1 about creating your clutter-free home, minimalism, executive functioning skills, and self-care, okay? So today, I wanna talk about the healing benefits of decluttering. And before I dive in, because I don't have a script, I'm just gonna dive in and see what this session takes us. I would like to ask you guys, and I would like you to share in the chat, what is the connection for you between healing and decluttering? Is there something that comes to mind that you can connect healing through the decluttering process? I would love to read what you guys shared first before I share what I have witnessed in the past 10 years, but basically in the past year, mostly. I would like to know, is there anything that comes to mind on how decluttering can help you heal? So Becca says, space for thoughts to flow freely. So space to flow freely. Laura says, I can breathe free from the past. So free from the past, letting go of things that no longer serve me. Amazing. So we have creating space to freely flow, letting go of the past, letting go of things that no longer serve you, space to grieve, space that will bring you joy once you have decluttered, removal of stagnant items, making space for priorities, leaving the past behind, new beginnings, decrease anxiety and overwhelm. An OCD mom who was extremely rigid, controlling and shame-inducing. My childhood was very hard, a lot around cleaning and perfectionism. Amazing. I think clutter is an indicative of fear of not having the things you need. So guys, you are sharing a lot of stuff. And I love reading what you guys are sharing because some of the things that I want to talk about that I have witnessed are connected to some of these things. Slavena says, blessed to be in your live session as it's usually my working time. This for the first time ever, I have enjoyed decluttering last and this week. Amazing. I have more mental clarity and ease when my space is visually pleasing. Amazing. So a big connection between physical space and how you feel inside, right? Clutter is a sign of indecision. Absolutely, Maya. Indecision, lack of clarity. Absolutely. Clearing physical space gives me mental and spiritual space. My environment represents my inner life space. Yeah, Don, absolutely. The outside, it is a representation of what's inside. And this is something that I want to share with you, that several people, when I do sessions, how it works is my wife and I, we go into someone's home. They have requested help, in-home help. I just want to let you know that it takes a lot of courage to invite someone into your messy home. There is a lot of stigma around decluttering, around people feel that they should know how to do that. There is a lot of shame around having clutter and what that means and represents. So it takes a lot of courage to invite someone else into your home and show them your mess. That's the first thing I want to really honor for those of you who have done it, or maybe you are planning on doing it. That's a huge first step. You are taking ownership of what you want to do. And most likely you have reached a point where you say, I had enough of this. This is no longer working for me. I don't know how to do it. So there is some acceptance in there. There is some humility in there. There is some courage in there to really accept, I don't know how to do this, but I don't want this in my life anymore. I want to do something different, okay? So that's a huge healing step. That is the step of becoming aware of what is, how you feel, what's true to you in the present moment. Acceptance, accepting where you are at, accepting what happened to you. Maybe creating the space and the time to think about what happened to you, because maybe you don't even know why you have clutter yet. Maybe you don't know what happened in your life that put you in this situation. Okay, so that's the first very, very healing step, to really take a pause from your busy life, look around and decide, I no longer want my life to look like this. I no longer want to feel this way. And I accept that I don't know how to do it. I accept that I want to try something different and I don't know what that is, okay? So one of the things that several people have told us is, guys, I have a therapist that I go to their office and then I have my therapist at home, that's you guys. And I always thought like, wow, but we're not therapists. Why are you saying that? And several people said that and then I was reflecting about it and it's like, normally they say, my therapist will never come to my home. They will never really truly see how I live. And you guys come to my home and you see the reality of my life. You see how I live. You see my habits. And you see my environment. And it is true. When we go into people's homes, there is nothing to hide there. You can see very clearly how they live. You can see very clearly the habits that they follow, the rituals and ceremonies that they have. And it's not possible to hide it because that's the truth. So they cannot hide and they need to accept. And that process happens faster. So it was very interesting to really look at that combination of like, wow, like some people go out for therapy, but then they need this support at home. So that was one of the healing moments for these people, to have support in their homes. Another very, very normal thing that we receive a lot is this sentence. I'm so glad that you guys are here because I will never allow myself the time. So I will never allow myself the time to do this. So it's really good that you are here because if you were not here, I will never do this. So that is another huge step into the healing process. And that is finding a way to create the time and the space that you need to look at what is, to think about what you want, to confront the reality of your life and start doing something different. And many times we don't allow ourselves the time and the space to do that for many reasons. I don't deserve it, I am too busy, other people need me more, who am I to ask for that, I'm not good enough, I will do it tomorrow, it's too painful, too uncomfortable, I don't have the skills, and I can keep going and going and going with excuses, with reasons why it's not possible to do it. But I honor you guys that are here. You are showing up. You are deciding that you are good enough, that you deserve, that you want to change, that you want to learn, and you are being flexible into finding different ways of moving forward. So let me see what you guys are sharing. Yeah, you guys are mentioning a lot about your family. I have an OCD mother and mother-in-law that drive me nuts with their support high standards, with their super high standards. Yeah, that's another thing, like expectations from someone else, communication that needs to happen between you and other people in your life sometimes is not easy. And that is another healing opportunity when you are decluttering, when you are going through this process. You are really assessing, how are my communications with other people? What are their expectations and how do they control me and how I feel? And many times, creating healthy boundaries, communicating clearly what you want and what you don't want, it is part of the healing process. It is part of what you need to process so that you can move forward in your life in the way that feels good to you. So it's very important to be aware of that. Communication is really important. And when it comes to family members, especially parents, there's a lot of family systems, family beliefs that were passed along to you from the people who raised you. And you did learn how to look at the world, how to manage emotions, how to show your love, how to maintain your physical spaces. You did learn all those values from the people who raised you, maybe your parents, maybe your grandparents, maybe adults that were supporting you when you were little. So there is a lot of generational trauma that has been passed to you. And I will talk about this in the next session on Thursday, because this week is all about healing. And next Thursday, I will talk about that generational trauma and how many times with the people I work with, they are the way they are because they learned that from their parents. They learned that from people who raised them, or they didn't learn it. They didn't have a role model to model to them what it can look like to be organized, to manage emotions, to clearly communicate, and they never get to learn any of that. Maybe they were raised in abusive homes. Maybe they were raised by parents who were high standards and perfectionist people, and you were never good enough doing things. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe they didn't even care about you and they didn't show you anything because they didn't know themselves. So there is a lot of opportunity for healing yourself and for also healing that generational trauma that has been passed from generation to generation. Those family systems that are worth to question, sometimes are worth to really question. Are they good? Are they something that I want to keep doing? Where did my parents learn this from? Why am I doing this the same way? Would I like to change something? Do I want to show my kids how to do things differently? And you can break that chain, because we are all victims of victims. So there is a lot of opportunity for healing. Things that are not yours, things that you were given, things that you learned from people that they didn't know what else to give you because they also didn't learn from their parents either. This is not about blaming anyone. This is about understanding awareness, really understanding what happens here. Okay. Kim says, clutter gives me anxiety. I am not good with organization, so things become cluttered. So Kim, you are becoming aware that you are not good with organization, and being organized is a skill that you can learn anytime in your life. This is not something that you are born with. This is a skill. Maybe you didn't have the opportunity to learn from anyone yet, but I promise you that if you are choosing to be more organized, if you are choosing to do things differently, you're going to find a way. You're going to find a different way of functioning. Okay. Kathleen says, if I try and fail to move forward, then I will know I was right, that I couldn't do whatever I wanted to do if I don't try. Then I can live with hope that I can succeed. Yeah, so this is a combination of really trying, right? You have to be able to try, be courageous enough, and you have to be willing to fail several times. This is not something that is going to happen overnight. So when you allow yourself to declutter, what's happening here is, first, you are creating space and time for you to question, okay? You are going to question about physical things. And when you are questioning about physical things that surround you, you are questioning yourself. You are questioning the decisions that you made. You are questioning the things that you want in your life moving forward, the activities that you want to be doing, the hobbies that you want to keep pursuing, etc., etc. So there is a huge healing opportunity in this step of the decluttering process, that is really creating the time to really go inside, be present with yourself, and really start making more intentional decisions. Really start accepting the things that no longer fit in your life, the thing that you no longer want in your life. Start taking ownership. Say, you know what? I spent $1,500 in that gym exercise machine that I have in the basement. And you know what? I have never used it. I don't enjoy going to that machine. I don't like that there is no light. I don't like not going out of the home, because now I work from home and I crave going outside. So maybe this is your opportunity. You are decluttering and you are assessing how you feel. You are creating space for the feelings that are present to you. Maybe you are feeling guilty because of the money that you spend in that machine. Maybe you are feeling guilty because you are not following a routine that you intended to follow. But deep inside, you just don't want to do it. So you need to process that. And the decluttering process is going to allow you to process those emotions, to accept them, to forgive yourself for whatever you decided that no longer fits in your life, and then to be intentional and make a different choice. And then you can sell that machine, give it to someone, whatever you need to do, because you know that it no longer fits in your life. You don't want it there anymore. It's not something that you are looking forward to do. And that's fine. But many times we need to give ourselves the permission. And that permission will only come from the decluttering process, from allowing ourselves time and space to check in with ourselves. When you are doing the decluttering process, another thing that happens is that you are coming to the present moment. You are not thinking about the future. You are not in the past. You are trying to be here and now with a specific object. And you are really being present. You are being present with how you feel. You are being present with the decisions that you want to make. You are gaining clarity. And that is healing. Gaining clarity is healing. Creating space for the emotions that are present right now for you is healing. Being in the present moment is healing. Accepting what is healing. Forgiving yourself for what you did in the past that you cannot change is healing. Setting new intentions that are more appealing to you is healing. Creating further communications with other people that are more true, that are more real, that communicate more clearly where you are at and what you want, that's healing. Okay, so as you see, there are a lot of opportunities to include healing steps in the decluttering process. Another thing that really happens also when you are decluttering with the physical things, someone was saying that your inner world and your outer world are connected. Your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. And I do believe that. When you are feeling centered, when you are feeling grounded, when you are feeling well with yourself, your physical surroundings reflect that. You see a home that is functional. You see a home that has the things that you use. You see a home that supports you, okay? When you are not feeling well, when a life event has happened and you are out of center, you are not grounded, you didn't have enough time to catch up and overcome whatever life event happened to you, the physical spaces are different. You are going to neglect them. You are not going to have enough time and energy to really look around and create what you need. And that's okay. That happens to all of us. Life events keep happening to us, and sometimes we need time to react. Sometimes we need support. Sometimes we need clarity and we need to make choices. And that is normal. We all go through different stages of life. Maybe we live with our parents, and then we move on into our own apartment, and then we meet a partner, we combine households, and then we have a child or two or three, and then after they leave the house, and then we become empty nesters, and then maybe after we retire and we need to downsize. So there are many different stages of life. Sometimes we have an accident, sometimes we have some sort of a disability, sometimes we move homes 1,000 times. So many times we don't have time to react to those changes quick enough. And that's when physical clutter starts appearing, because deep inside, that's a lack of time and energy to really energize the space where you are at, because there are other priorities. And that's okay. Sometimes the priority, it is not to declutter. It is not to have an organized home. And many people live in disorganized homes and they don't care, and it doesn't bother them. And that's fine. Sometimes that's not what people want or need. But if you are here, most likely you want and need that, because you are bothered by it. So that's why this is a very personal journey, and this is a personal choice. You are the one who needs to take ownership of what you really want. And that's also healing. Taking the ownership, accepting your truth, communicating from a place of integrity. I want this. I don't want this. And having that clarity, or having the clarity, I don't know what it is, but this is not it. So I'm gonna keep trying and testing different things until I find what I really want and makes me feel good. Okay? So when you are decluttering, you are moving stagnant energy. Some of you mentioned that at the beginning, moving stagnant energy. And that is so true. A space becomes stagnant when you don't use it. When you have things accumulated and you don't remember what's in there, that is stagnant energy. When you revitalize that space by decluttering, by opening every box, looking everywhere, really making decisions about what do I want to keep, what belongs here, what doesn't belong in my life anymore, and then you start making those choices and decluttering and only keeping what you really want, you are bringing fresh energy into that space, and you are bringing fresh energy into your life. And that physical change comes from the inside. You first decided inside of you, I am ready for change. This space is no longer serving me. I have these ideas, these hobbies, and I want to transform that space. I want the energy I have inside to come outside and be represented in this physical space. And that's what's happening. And that's why if you enroll in my course, Creating Your Clutter-Free Home, the first sessions are all about awareness, looking at intentions, becoming aware of what happened, life events, really, truly understanding your present situation, accepting it, forgiving yourself for it, processing any emotions that may show up, and then you are ready to physically do the work. So the decluttering starts with invisible work that you don't see. It starts with work that it is not moving physical objects. It is inside of you. Awareness, clarity, exploring options, and start taking ownership of the things that you want and the things that you don't want, and having the courage to allow yourself the time to test, to discover with no expectations if you don't have the clarity yet. It's a part of the journey, okay? What about a certain level of chaos for creativity purposes? So Juliana, chaos can mean something different for each person. Maybe for you, chaos is having a book on the table, and for another person, chaos is having 1,000 books around. So it's very personal and very subjective, the definition of clutter, the definition of chaos. And what I invite you all to do is ask yourself, what does chaos mean to you? What is your standard? What does clutter mean to you? And I always say the same thing, that is also very healing. To find your entry points. When you are trying to heal yourself, when you are trying to change your life, the best way that I have found from my experience and from seeing other people is to find the entry points. And one of the best entry points is frustrations. Anytime you feel a frustration, that is an entry point, that is a healing opportunity, that is a seed for change. that instead of you being frustrated, you look at that frustration and you understand what's inside, what's behind this frustration, what do I need to change here? Question it. Why do I need that way? Is this something that doesn't make any sense? It's a belief that someone gave to me when I was little and it doesn't make any sense, or is it really true to me right now? So it's questioning that too, to make sure that it's relevant, to make sure that it's not a limiting belief that you have. And then you move forward with what feels good to you. So when we're talking about chaos, when we're talking about clutter, what does that mean to you? Because the best definition of clutter comes from Clutterers Anonymous. This is an association in the US. And they say that clutter is anything that you don't want, that you don't use, that you don't need, that may be broken, that takes away your space, takes away your serenity. Okay, takes away your space, your energy, and destroys your serenity. So if you take that definition, that's going to mean something different for each person. Some people are, they have standard of like, I go into the kitchen, if there is a single glass on the countertop, that bothers me. Some other people will say, I may have 100 glasses on the countertop and I don't care. So chaos from one person to another is completely different. So make sure that you understand, where are you at? What is your standard? What do you need to feel well? Why do you need that? Is it reasonable? And especially if you are sharing the space with someone else and you guys are frustrating each other, that is another healing opportunity. Physical clutter from one person is causing frustration in the other person. And maybe the standards are different. Maybe one person says, I don't need to do dishes. Maybe once every 2 days is fine for me. And the other person is, I need to do dishes every time I eat. So exactly, those standards are completely different, right? So you are always going to be triggering the other person because you just didn't get on the same page. So if you have a clear communication and a healing conversation, then you can find that happy balance. You can find a way, you can create a boundary. You can just find the happy balance between the two of you. How to move forward with dishes in a way that works for everybody, okay? And then also, I will invite the person who doesn't do dishes in 2 days, why don't you do dishes more often? And I will take the other person that does dishes every time they eat and say, why can't you leave the dishes away for 1 minute or two? What's underneath that need of doing the dishes right away? And then what is the flexibility between those two people? And sometimes it's very interesting to understand the reasons why each of those people feel the way they feel. And it always boils down to beliefs that are behind that, things that they learned when they were little, and there is some always like someone in the back saying something to them. Maybe it's their mother, maybe it's their father, maybe it's their grandmother. And there is a story, there is a belief that was formed when they were little on how the kitchen needs to look like. But everything is questionable. That's why there is an executive functioning skill that is called adaptable thinking, or cognitive flexibility. And that skill allows you to see reality from different perspectives. It allows you to look at the reality and really think about, is this the only way, or there are other ways of doing this? And I invite you to start using that skill more often. Anytime you feel yourself being rigid about something, question it. Like in my case, many times, I go to the kitchen and sometimes it's like, I had a coffee, I want to wash that cup right away. And sometimes I challenge myself. It's like, why can't you just leave it on the counter and wash it later? And it's because, no, if you let it dry, it's going to be more difficult to wash. I like the counter to be clean. Why do I like the clutter to be completely empty? Why can't one coffee mug be on top of it? And then I try to challenge myself. What is this coming from? Why do I need this specific way? Why can't I be more flexible? Why does it bother me if someone else leaves a cup there? And then you start learning things about yourself. And if you do that with everything in the home, I promise you that you are going to start finding a lot of aha moments about, yeah, I don't know why, but it can be this way, and it can be this way, and it can be this way. And all of a sudden, those standards that are very rigidly set for you, they start becoming more flexible. And I'm not talking that it's not good to have boundaries and it's not good to have ways of how you like to have things done. You absolutely can, but sometimes it's helpful to challenge them when they are causing frustration, when someone else is being bothered by them. Okay. Lydia says, I have ADHD and struggle with executive functioning. So Lydia, I don't know if you are aware of what the executive functionings are, how you can become aware of them, strategies that you can use to complement them. But I do have a full course that you can check out if you want, that I talk about all the executive functioning skills, what they do, how they work, how you can pay attention to them. And then I try to share very practical strategies that you can use to complement the ones that you may be struggling with, because they are skills that they can all be complemented. Okay. Amy says, may I ask what you discovered about yourself that way? The coffee cup example. Yeah, Amy, for example, I discovered perfectionism. I discovered rigidity. It's my way or the highway. There is no other way to be done correctly. I discovered that sometimes I don't have full control in other areas of my life. Like my business is uncertain, the income I make is uncertain. Sometimes I don't know where I'm gonna live for the next year. So when there are so many uncertain things in my life, I also was uncertain about my citizen status in Canada for almost 10 years. I didn't know if I was able to stay or not. So I feel that the things that I had control over, I wanted to have full control over them. And that gave me a sense of control that I did not have in other areas of my life. So by me questioning that, by me understanding that, I don't have to be so rigid here. But that was in the background. The feeling of, I don't know what to do. The feeling of I'm not good enough. The feeling of I don't know how to take control of these things. So I'm going to do this thing really well to at least show myself that I can do it, because all the other things I don't really know and I don't have full control over. So that was some of the stuff that was in there. Also, I was raised in a house where dishes were done after every lunch. So they did not stay there forever. So I guess there is some conditioning that is not a bad conditioning. It's good. But sometimes it's like, as I was saying, life sends you other priorities. And if I had to leave a cup not washed, sometimes I was feeling frustration. And I was then accepting, like, why am I leaving this cup here? Because there is something more important that needs to be done. So I need to be okay with it. I need to make an intentional decision and be okay leaving the dishes until the next morning. I am not a morning person, so I don't like waking up to a dirty kitchen. That's why I try to be proactive. But sometimes it's good to leave them there so that my brain doesn't always get the way it wants. I'm kind of forcing it into doing something different. I'm working my cognitive flexibility a little bit in doing things different. So that's my reasoning. But again, it's very helpful that you at least question everything that you do and the reasons why you do them, because that's going to be very helpful to understand, why do I do this way? Why does this bother me? And that is a huge healing opportunity. Yeah, Lydia, you say, I relate with the uncertainty and then it shows in my environment. So many times I'm helping people declutter and they are so afraid of being done decluttering. And you maybe don't understand why this is happening, but the reasoning is that decluttering, having that physical clutter, is a reason why they are not taking action in other things that are important in their life, that they maybe don't know how to do it. Maybe they don't have the control, maybe they are afraid of getting involved because they don't know, they may feel they are not good enough. By having physical clutter and having the excuse of having to declutter, that helps them not take action. When they are decluttering and they see that they are going to be done, they start feeling more anxiety, because all of a sudden they don't have the excuse of the clutter. They don't have that reason standing on the way. So now they have to show up for whatever else is possible in their lives, and they feel fear. That's something very true for a lot of people. So that's another healing opportunity to face that, to really address it, to process it in whatever way is necessary, so that that person can let go of that need to have physical clarity to avoid taking action in whatever it is that they really truly want to do, but they are fearful of. And they are in this cycle of, I want to, but I rather sabotage myself, self-sabotage myself, having physical clarity so that I don't have to show up. I don't have to confront that discomfort. That is something that I have seen a lot of times. Okay, a lot of times. And it's normal. It's normal to be afraid of something new. It's normal to be afraid of doing something different. Okay, but when you are decluttering, you are also using an executive functioning skill that is called metacognition. Metacognition allows you to be present, allows you to see what it is that you are feeling. It allows you to watch yourself in how you behave, in how you act, the decisions you make. It's like you are sitting on a couch and you're watching yourself in that present moment doing what you are doing. When you are there, you have the ability to start deciding something different because you are not involved in an emotion. You are not reacting to something automatically. You are being completely present in the present moment. You have full presence. And then you can decide. You can notice, wow, I am feeling anxiety. Wow, I am avoiding this thing because it's uncomfortable. Why? I don't have clarity about this decision yet. That's okay. You are noticing what's present, but you are not letting yourself react to it. You are being present, you are noticing, and then you are deciding how to take action or maybe not to take action yet. That is the metacognition. Allows you to reflect, allows you to watch how you think and how you act. And then you are using another executive functioning skill that is really helpful for healing, and that is emotional self-regulation and impulse control. So that skill allows you not to get carried with that emotion anymore, because that emotion is an automatic pattern that you have created by repetition. And anytime you get triggered, you go down that route. But when you can be present, using your metacognition skill, you can be fully present. You are going to notice, there you go, that pattern is coming. I'm gonna stop it right now. I'm not gonna go down that route anymore. And now I'm gonna question that pattern. Why am I doing this? What is the actions that are consequent of this trigger? I don't choose to do that anymore. What can I do instead? You're using your adaptable thinking, cognitive flexibility. What are my options here? You are in the full present moment. You are noticing yourself, catching yourself doing what you normally do, that you no longer want to do it, and then you are looking at the possibilities. What can I do instead, rather than keep going the same path that I always go? And that's when true change starts happening. The problem is that it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of presence to do that. It takes a lot of time sometimes to really be there. And sometimes it's easier to be distracted. It's easier to do what you know what to do, what's familiar, what's certain, and forget about the discomfort. And that's why so many times we self-sabotage ourselves, because it's easier to do what we know than to face the work of healing, the work of changing, the work of doing something different, the work of maybe failing. And that's why sometimes we don't choose that. But when you are decluttering, you are doing that process. You are being aware. You are in the present moment. You are most likely having support. When people hire us, we are holding space. We are creating a safe container for them. And then when emotions come up, we are helping them process them. I may do tapping. I may do emotional processing. I may invite them to question things. I will ask 1,000 questions to help them go deeper. And all of a sudden, they will start moving forward in a path that they never understood before. They couldn't go there before. And that all happened thank you to creating a decluttering process, creating the time to really assess and question our physical environment. Isn't that fascinating, guys, how deep this can go? Beth says, okay, Emilio, that just punched me in the gut. I'm sorry. I hope it wasn't very helpful and very painful. In what order would you recommend taking your courses? So Beth, the order of this journey can look very different for each person. So if you are asking me, what is the order that you recommend me taking your courses or learning, keep learning? What is your intuition telling you? Because so many times I'm helping people and I ask them a few questions and I sense, what is the most important priority for you right now? What feels most urgent? Some people say self-care, creating time with myself so that I can re-energize and then I can have energy to keep going. So then I will say, do the self-care first. Some people say, you know what, Emilio? Everything is great, but I don't have the time. I don't know how to create the time for this. So then I will say, maybe the intentional time management course is the one for you. And maybe the executive functioning skills too. I will say that the executive functioning skills is probably one of the first courses that you can all take if you haven't yet. Because executive functioning skills are helping you like navigate life, time management, decluttering, physical organization, self-care, emotional self-regulation, all those skills that we have to navigate every single day, they are all controlled by our executive functioning skills. They are the CEO of our brain. So if you understand them, if you can become aware of how your brain works, everything else is gonna become easier for you. Because you are gonna know, I'm really good at metacognition, I struggle with time management, so I'm going to complement that with these techniques. And then my working memory is amazing, but my emotional self-regulation, it's all over the place, so I'm gonna try these strategies to work on my... And now you are really targeting very specific things in your life that are gonna be way easier for you to take action on. And this is the secret here, that sometimes the change happens in slow and small steps, consistently done, okay? So this is not about a humongous change all at once. This is about very little steps that are going to help you keep moving forward. Consistency and clarity is key here. So some people say, listen, I cannot do anything. I cannot function if I don't have a physical space that supports me. So then for those people, I would say, start with my creating your clutter-free home. Because that course is going to help you with awareness. All the courses I have, they have a mental and emotional aspect to them because it's necessary. But maybe you need to start creating a home or at least creating a room that supports you, that you feel well in, is your sanctuary. And from there, you start working on your self-care. And from there, you start creating time, having more intentional conversations, and then you have the energy and the time to dive into the executive functioning skills, and then you start the journey that way. So there is not a right or wrong way of starting. There is not a right or wrong way of you moving through this journey of healing. I will invite you to follow your intuition and look at the possibilities that are laying in front of you and sense which one feels good to you and explore it. No expectation, just explore it. See which one works. And if you don't know, just I can help you to figure it out if you want to. Like I work one-on-one with people too. If you are interested, you can listen into the courses. I have a lot of live sessions recorded that you can listen to. I mention a lot of books that have helped me gain awareness and clarity that you can read. So there is a lot of information out there. So sometimes it's just a matter of deciding something and start taking action. yeah, so guys, time is almost up. Do you guys have any questions that are burning you before I go? And as always, I see, thank you so much for your donation, MG. If you guys are enjoying this session, if you are finding value, you can support me with a donation. If you want to, you can also support me by enrolling in one of my courses and engaging in the course classroom. I would love to support you there if you can do it. Okay. If you guys have any burning question, please share it in the chat and I will allow a few minutes to answer them. Linda, thank you so much for your generous donation. I really appreciate it. So let me know if you guys have any questions. The main takeaways from today is that allowing yourself the time and space to declutter physical space, your home, an area of your life, it is a huge invitation for you to heal, for you to look at that space, that situation, to question it, to really make decisions. What does belong here? What can I let go of? To start taking ownership of your decisions, the things that you want in your life moving forward, the things that you are allowing yourself to let go, maybe clear communication that you need to have with someone else, and then accepting what is, forgiving yourself for things that you did in the past that you can no longer change. The only thing that you can change is how you react to them, and then start intentionally moving forward in a different way. Okay? So Christine says, coming from a different angle, how do you react to a client if they want to avoid the decision-making part of the decluttering process by having you do it? So Christine, that's a good question. And that's something that I don't decide. I just help you decide. Because deep inside, everybody has their own answers. Everybody knows what they want deep inside. But many times, there is a lot of layers in between that. Sometimes it's fear, sometimes it's a lack of awareness of strategies, sometimes it's lack of flexibility, seeing all the possibilities that are laying in front of them. Sometimes it's a matter of calming down, practicing some self-care, and then bringing yourself to a stress level that is lower. And when you lower yourself and you are feeling more energized, you can think more clearly, you can see more possibilities. That's why self-care and mindfulness is so important. Because when you are stressed, when you are on survival mode, you cannot see all your options. So I will invite them to think, I will ask questions, I will do a visualization exercise, I will find a way. It's gonna look different with each person, but I will most likely find a way to get there. The only thing that I need with a person, if I'm working with them, is that they are willing to try something different, that they are accepting that they want change, and they need to accept that they not maybe don't know how to do it, and that's okay. So they are willing to discover something that is new and uncertain. If they are there, everything else will unfold eventually. If someone doesn't want to change, then I will say, I don't need to work with you because you don't want to, and that's fine. Why are we here for? And I will ask them straight, why am I here for? Why do you want to work with me in the first place? What are you expecting from me? And I will let them take ownership. I will let them really be clear, because I don't need to do something that they don't want to do. I'm not gonna force them, but deep inside they may want that change. Okay? So let me see. So how do you harness the motivation to start? I still haven't dealt with the kitchen. I know why, but can't seem to start. Sometimes, Amy, how to get started, that can be, that's why I invite people to look at the executive functioning skills course, because sometimes you are avoiding getting started, and there is always a reason why you avoid. Okay, there is always a reason why you procrastinate, why you can't get started. Sometimes that is a time management problem, you just don't know when to do it. Sometimes it is a how problem. You don't have the skill, you don't know the steps to follow. So because you don't know that, you procrastinate. And maybe you just need time to research on how to do it. Sometimes it's an emotional self-regulation problem. That thing that you are about to do is triggering big emotions in you. Like, for example, I'm learning how to kitesurf again, and I have panic going to the beach, just thinking about going to the beach, because I heard of accidents that some other people had, and I was suffering with anxiety about me having that accident. So I was going to the beach and I was feeling the anxiety show up. And that was a self-regulation problem. I was feeling that because I wasn't coping with the emotions that I was feeling. So I did some processing, and then I realized that what I needed was to feel safer. And what I needed to feel safer was to watch more videos about what to do in those situations. And I spent 1 or 2 hours on YouTube watching videos from other people teaching me what to do in those situations. And then the last time I went by myself and I was able to raise the kite, and I didn't feel as much blockage. So that was what I needed. And for me, it was a self-regulation problem. So think about, analyze the different entry points, the different angles, and find which one is it. Sometimes it's a perfectionism problem. Your standard is so high, you know, you will never get there. So you will not allow yourself to get started because you are going to fail 100% sure, and you don't want to fail. So that is a task completion problem. Task completion is another executive functioning skill that allows you to define what it means to complete a task. And sometimes we don't want to complete that task because it's so high, it's so difficult that it will never be perfect. So we just rather don't get started to protect ourselves. So that is one, a few options that you can explore. Okay. What do you do with a friend who has so much stuff, it's unsafe and not healthy? They don't seem to want to change it. Carmel, that is a question that we get a lot. How do you help people that have clutter, but they don't want to be helped? The only thing that you can really do here is model something different for them. You can inspire them, find a way to inspire them to want to change. But how that is going to look very different for with each person. And so many times, some people have clutter to the point that it's unsafe, but they don't see a problem and they don't want to change. And unfortunately, there is very little that can be done when someone doesn't want change, when someone doesn't want help. Who are you to go to someone and offer help that they didn't ask for, that they don't see a problem with? So that is a very, very tricky situation. And many times it's very sad, but we cannot help someone who doesn't want to be helped. And that's why sometimes healthy boundaries, sometimes finding something that inspires them to change can be the only option. Because if you force change on them, that doesn't go well. Normally what I have seen, it's normally not a good idea to force change on someone that doesn't want it. So I'm sorry that I don't have a better answer for you, but that is the truth, that is what I have seen. And it's sad, but it's the truth. Okay. So guys, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for your presence. I hope that you can put into practice some of the things that you learned today. I hope that you guys find healing opportunities through the decluttering process. I hope that you guys can see that decluttering process with new and fresh eyes. Something that I would like to share from a client I'm working with one-on-one is that she sent me a WhatsApp message yesterday, and because I'm supporting her through WhatsApp, that's something that I do one-on-one. I do video calls and I also support through WhatsApp because it's a more fluid way of supporting. But she told me, I went to that room that always overwhelmed me, and now I can open the door and I can feel excitement rather than overwhelm because of the possibilities that I see for that space. And she was amazed at the change in how she feels confronting that room, because she has done the kitchen, she has done the bathroom, she has decluttered most of her apartment now. And it's been like 2.5 months of a journey. And now she's in a state that she's amazed in how things are flowing, how she feels. When before she was feeling overwhelmed and stuck, now she sees possibility and feels excited. So can you imagine going from feeling overwhelmed and frozen to feeling excited about what's about to come? That is a pretty amazing healing opportunity for all of you. So I hope that you guys can get that. And if you don't know how to do it alone, please receive help. Ask for it. So Lydia, yeah, the courses are only available through Member Plus. Yeah, on Inside Timer, yeah. You can go to the website and you can find them separately in there too if you want. Your words today helped me so much. Thank you, Emilio. You are welcome, Jennifer. Amazing. Thank you so much for your donations, guys. Just looking at the comments before I leave. Thank you so much, Amy. She says, guys, my fiance and I have done a one-on-one session with Emilio. It was life-changing, truly. Try it if you are on the fence. It's worth it. Thank you so much, Amy. I hope that you guys are doing well. It was a pleasure to work with you. Yeah, so guys, I let you go now. Thank you so much for your presence again. I hope to see you on Thursday. I will be talking about family systems and healing generational trauma. It is very connected to today's session, but I will be looking more at the things that we received from our ancestors, from our parents, the people who raised us, from an angle of compassion, awareness, forgiveness, and with the intention of moving forward in a different way and hopefully giving the new generations new ways of seeing the reality and new ways of doing things that are more advanced of the ways that we received. Okay, so I hope that you guys can join, and yeah, I will see you on Thursday. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I hope that you guys have an amazing rest of your day. Adios.